Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Ken, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for asking today, Mike.
That's awesome. Man, no headset needed today. It's a big day for you. It's a big day.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Hey, in studio with us. And I reached out to him because I'm still like not sleeping well. Because of the last month or so of the Milwaukee Brewers season. He is the bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, and he is a Faith in the Zone guy. He's been in this his third time, and he is Marcus Hanel. Marcus, it's good to see you. How you been?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you settled down since your time off right now is not like some guys that just get to hang out at home. I mean, I'm sure you're working out and doing all the things that you do, but emotionally, are you back from that run?
Yeah, emotionally, it did take a couple days, if not almost a week, just to kind of finally cool down, wind down, and just kind of get your head on moving on to the off season, focusing on family, and moving to getting ready for spring training.
Hey, how different is it? And we're going to get into the season a little bit and talk about, you know, how your walk went this year and all of that. But how different is it for you and your family, the adjustment of now you being home every day?
It is. Every year it's a major adjustment. It's that adjustment of like, all right, my wife has gotten a routine with the kids, and all of a sudden now the big guy gets home, and don't want to ruffle any feathers, but you know, when you got, you know, just the routines kind of change a little. But it also was very helpful. My wife does an unbelievable job of, our kids are very active, getting them to school, their sporting events, so now I get to help with that, and we kind of joke. She's the doober, I'm the doober, and she's the mover, you know, the Uber drivers for our kids. So get to help with the drive, and, you know, I get to be a part of the family, get to go to church with them. So there's a great amount of things that are happening being home. It's just kind of the routine of other things that kind of get.
How many kids do you have, and how
four
old?
Kids. I got twin girls who are sophomores in high school. I got my 12-year-old. He's in 7th grade, and 8-year-old who is in 3rd grade.
How's the 8-year-old? Those youngest ones, I know Pastor.
He's our ham of the family. He's the entertainer. He keeps us loose. Oh, man, he's something else.
So you have the two girls, and they help you with the two boys, huh? Do they kind of mother the boys a little bit, or
you know what? They are. I am very blessed. All my kids get along very well together. Mm-hmm. It's not like the girls mother. They're brothers, sisters, and they play together. They do things together. They're all. Whatever it is, my daughter, one plays volleyball, so my boys will, you know, bump the ball with her, you know. Other one runs, they'll even train with her to run, you know. Mm-hmm. My boys play baseball, they might go out and just kind of shag for them. So they're all in together on this thing, so I'm very blessed how much they love one another and they get
along.
That's
good. Yeah, well, that's awesome.
That helps.
Yeah,
that
sure
it's a
does
huge
help.
Blessing. What high school do the girls go to?
My girls go to Oak Creek High School.
Excellent. Yeah, they... their programs over there are strong. I know their girls' basketball program, and I talk to their football guy and baseball coach all the time. They get a new basketball coach over there, and that's athletically a really good school.
Yeah, very blessed. My daughter plays volleyball for the Oak Creek High School. My daughter runs cross country and track, and I think they finished in the top four in basketball for girls basketball last year, and they made a little run with volleyball this year. So they were young. So excited. I never envisioned myself being the dad already who sits in the bleachers like my parents did. Man, it sure comes fast, but I sure enjoy it.
It's awesome. Yeah. Do you and your wife sit together when you're watching the games?
For the most part, but sometimes people come up and just want to chat with me. So
yeah.
While I'm watching, I kind of separate myself with my and then I kind of just watch the game from a distance.
I coached my son in high school basketball, and then during college basketball, my wife and I never sat next to each other. She wouldn't allow it because she said I didn't cheer correctly. And I don't really know what that means, Marcus. I didn't think she cheered correctly. You're not supposed to root on the other team, right? You're not saying anything about it, but you're not rooting don't, you know, kid makes a good play, it just kind of move on. But she's clapping, and I think that's what she meant when she said I didn't cheer correctly. Maybe it's I talked to the officials a little too much.
Hey, I was sitting with you at a game, and you know, you were fine, and then the next thing I know, you're up in the top row, and you didn't want me to come up there and sit by you.
So maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the common denominator behind all this. Yeah, I didn't. Maybe it was me, actually. So it's been a while. I think it was Terry's fault, but we'll leave it at that. Marcus, and I told you this before we started recording. I have not had, personally, and I'm a big, I've always been a big Brewer fan. I'm a sports guy. I've lived here in Milwaukee my whole life. But I've never been, as a fan, where I sat at the end of my recliner and worried about every single pitch for a week to 10 days to maybe 2 weeks, like this run. And I want to thank you and the organization for what it did for this city and be working for a sports radio station. Man, that's all anybody wanted to talk about was the Brewers. How do you think the Brewers are going to do? What are they going to do here? Why did he pull this guy? And everybody was talking about it, not only on our airwaves, but here in the building. I mean, people that they wear Cubs gear all the time, all of a sudden they're like, look, my team's out. I'm a Brewer fan. I've jumped on the bandwagon. That Christian Yelich, he's really good, and Braun's playing well. And so it was fun to be where we were. Can you sit back and enjoy it while it's happening?
You do. You're always looking ahead, like, oh, what if we make it to the next series? Oh, man, if we can get to, you know. It was an incredible ride, and if you look at like from August to where we were trailing the Cubs, and then you could just see how the team was coming together. A quick story: I think we had lost a tough series, or we lost a tough game in Washington, and we came back. It was I think we had that rain delay,
right?
And then we came back and we blew that lead in the eighth inning, and you know it was a pretty tough loss. And you know, guy, it was late. It was emotional, and then all of a sudden, two guys, Lorenzo Cain and Moustakas, were just sitting at the table in the kitchen, and just happened to walk by him, and you can just hear him going, you know, this is going to be incredible. When we make the playoffs, this is going to be sweet. So they weren't like downcast by the result of the game. They were already like, all right, tomorrow's another day, let's go. And that was just the mentality that this team had. And if you saw the team, what made this team so special, everyone contributed. There was guys sacrificing numbers for the better of the team. They were moving from different positions to better the team. Guys were coming out of the bullpen that might have been starters, or guys were starters who weren't even really playing anymore, but they still were contributing as far as their practices and work schedules and that they were doing. So, man, it was as fun and an entertaining year as you guys felt. We felt it in the clubhouse and the stadium itself.
Well, and the additions that they made, the Moustakas and guys like that, where you just thought, wow. Looking at it from afar, thinking, hold on, they already have a third baseman. And then Shaw moves to second, and then they move Shaw a little bit to first, and Shaw goes to third when he has to. And some of the moves that they made, Curtis Grandison, who didn't play a ton, but seemed to get a walk in a key spot every time he came up. And you saw him in the dugout when he was chatting with this guy and laughing with this guy. And I just thought some of the moves that they made were really good. I know that the second baseman for Baltimore struggled a little bit. I thought September, I predicted it would be his month. And it just didn't. I don't know if he just didn't get comfortable, but that guy's really good. And defensively, he helped out. It was just a fun ride. And for the people that were like me, and I know there were a lot, that sat on the edge of their couch or sat at the end of that recliner with every pitch and every hit, just, you know, lived and died, I just want to thank you. It was really fun.
Well, you know, I appreciate the thank yous. It all goes down to, you know, who spearheaded David Stearns and, you know, Craig Council and putting together a staff and a club that was entertaining. And I'm just very fortunate, like the guys, I mean, truly, truly, it was a family atmosphere from not just the ball players, the relationships you made, but even with young kids that had running around the clubhouse all the time. Wow, you know, so you were building relationships not only with the, you know, other players and coaches and stuff like that, but you're actually building relationships with the kids that are running in there. So it was a truly, truly family atmosphere. And when we lost that last game, the emotions, it was a very emotional clubhouse. And it wasn't just the fact that the season was done. I think you knew how special the group was, the relationships, like I said, that you're not going to see guys just because of free agency or the way their careers are, that you made it. And that was very hard, knowing, like, man, I might not see some of these guys and their kids. My kids might not see them. So that was a hard loss at the end for that reason alone, not just getting to the World Series.
Tough business you're in with that.
Well, I love that, hearing the story about the family, because, you know, I love it when kids are running around. I tell folks at church all the time, you know, if they're going to run into somebody, something. But for the most part, hey, we love the kids. But I was going to say, the one guy that really surprised me with the Brewers was Arcia. When
he got hot, didn't he?
Telling you, sometimes when he would come up, I would be like, oh, man. And then, man, he just went on a tear. I mean, he was just hitting the ball out of the park, and he did an awesome job. So it was fun, and we're glad you're in here with us, talking a little bit about
before
it.
Before we get to a break, and you've been around, and Pastor's coached, and he's been around athletic teams his whole life, as I have. If the team really gets along well and you lose a lot of games, it's not nearly as painful. And if a team that doesn't like each other, and as soon as the horn goes off or as soon as the last pitch, they all scatter on their own, and you win a ton of games, it's good, but it's not as sweet as when you get a team that succeeds and they really care about each other. Those come along so infrequently that when you have it, it just, you know, it's something special. And for a guy like you that's been around this for a long time and played high school and college and played in the pros and now part of this pro, well, you've been with the Brewers 15, 16 years, right?
This summer will be my 20th year.
20th year. Wow.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking about when a team really, and you talk about that family atmosphere. A lot of guys say it, you know, they say, oh yeah, we're a big family. But then when you break it down and you start looking at it, nobody hangs out. They go on the road and one, you know, two guys go one way and three guys go another way. And to have what you guys had, and you could see it. If you've been around teams, you could see when they showed the dugout or the bullpen. And one day, this guy's sitting next to this guy, and the next day, he's sitting over there, and he's sitting over there. You could tell that this team enjoyed each other.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, addition by subtraction can help. And sometimes, it's not always about the talent of a ball player, but it's what they bring inside a clubhouse and to make others better around them to succeed. So I think that's what we had. I don't think we always had the talented group of guys out there, but we had guys who will play for one another, and they believed in that, and that's why we had the success that we had.
Well, you just made that comment, and I've been asked a couple times this week about some of the moves that another professional sports team here in in Wisconsin made this week, and I used the same. The question was, are they looking for next year already? And I said, I don't think so. I think sometimes addition by subtraction. I've been in locker rooms before where you've had, you know, a guy with some talent who just, you know, you had to get him out of the locker room in order to get better as a team. And so I wonder if the moves that team, I think they were green and gold, but I'm not going to name them. I'm wondering if the moves they made was addition by subtraction. Guys, we've got to get to a break. He is Marcus Hanel. He's a bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. He is also the founder of Coos for Kids. And we're going to talk about Coos for Kids on the other side. Pastor, you're going to love this. If you go to their website, which is coosforkids.com, K-O-O-S for kids.com, Mark 10:16 is right front and center on that website. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. That gives you an idea what Coos for Kids is about. And we'll talk to Marcus about that on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner, and our in-studio guest, he is Marcus Hanel, bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers and a founder of Coos for Kids. I know he's proud of what he does for a living, but he's really proud. When you talk to him about Coos for Kids, it's a big part of who he is. Go to coosforkids.com to learn more about this nonprofit organization that does great work. It's Coos for Kids, K-O-O-S, for kids.com. And again, right on the front page of their website, it's bold. It's right there, Mark 10:16. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. That was important for you to have that on your website, Marcus.
Yeah, we wanted anyone who understands where we're coming from, we want to know this is a blessing from the Lord. It's not of our hands, but it's of His.
Can you give us the history of Coos for Kids? I've read it, and it's on their website. But if you could just talk a little bit about it. It was a number of years ago that you were approached to do something.
Yeah, so early 2000s, I was, you know, being with the Brewers. Everyone's always looking for memorabilia to help with fundraisers. And I had started helping out with some pretty decent fundraisers. But I would always see, like, the money raised seemed like it went more to corporate than it actually did to the purpose of what they were raising the money to. So it was kind of like, oh man, that's a little disheartening. So I said, you know what? I've always wanted to, you know, I said if I'd have a chance or an opportunity to help out children in this area, I would love to do so. So some businessmen said, hey, let's get on board. Let's start this. So in 2005, we kicked off Coos for Kids to help terminally ill and disadvantaged kids in southeastern Wisconsin.
Let me, on your website, and I printed this, I just wanted to read this. Marcus made it his mission to help children and share his love for Christ with them. And now he just needed a team to help get it started. And then they talk about the next couple of months forming a committee of five people. And again, that was January 2005. They came up with the name Coos for Kids and decided that to focus on helping terminally ill and disadvantaged children in the local area. And to go on that website and just get the history, you know, I just learned about it a number of years ago when I got to know you a little bit. And so I didn't know the history until I went on the website and read it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. And how far it's come in a short amount of time. What you're doing, this is a short amount of time for compared to some of these other nonprofits. And when we talked earlier, one of your big things used to be Coats for Coos. And you can't do that anymore because the orders that you wanted to place with companies, coat companies, they couldn't do the order because it was too big.
Correct.
And I just look that for me in the business I'm in, and you kind of like were on the phone talking about this, and you must have heard it through the phone because I'm shaking my head saying, you've got to be kidding me. Because everybody, you're looking for big orders. You're looking, you know, if you're a company that manufactures jackets and coats, and they could not, and you went to some of the big boys.
Yes, I did.
Burlington, right?
Went to, Kohl's couldn't do mass orders like that. We had used Sears, and then when Sears left, Sears was unbelievable when they were here. They accommodated us, and we would put our orders in early October. So by the time now November would come around, kids would have their jackets. But then as they went out, we kind of lost our store. So we had tried some other ones. I don't want to put it. Just,
no, that's all right.
The distribution of it, even calling, getting to the warehouse, they couldn't withstand all the orders. And one of the reasons – you know, people are like, oh, we have a lot of jackets we could give you or whatnot. A lot of these kids have never had a brand new jacket.
Right.
And so one of the things that we wanted to have is have their own jacket to call their own.
No one's ever worn it.
Right. So that was a special thing about what we were trying to do is trying to give these kids brand new jackets, winter coats for them to wear. Unfortunately, which is a great problem and a bad problem. It's a bad problem that so many kids needed coats, but it's also one that we were, for a long time, we were able to help out and accommodate. But our orders had gotten too big, and stores weren't able to keep up with it.
Marcus, how would you get it then to the kids? Would this be like showing up at their school or going to their homes? How would you guys
so
do it?
Like you said, one of my passions was to share mm-hmm. my message with the kids. So what I would do, we would pick out in southeastern Wisconsin schools that had a certain poverty level. And through that, I would contact the school social worker, and I would say, this is who we are. I would, and then if they're over, I would buy the entire school winter jackets from kindergarten all the way to fifth grade. And so then what we would do is send some of our committee members. We'd have the jacket sizes, and we'd fit every kid, and then we'd put an order in, and we would then go back to that school. We usually did 3 to 4 schools, so imagine now you can start figure out the numbers that we're working with. All right, so then what I would do is I will do this for your school, and I have no problem, but I get to come in and I get to speak to your kids. Mm-hmm. And so I would run it as an assembly, and then I would hand out all the jackets to every single kid in the school.
And so you got to share your testimony.
I know what the school is, but it was a way, like, you know, I got to share with them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know, and I know you know this, but how impressive it is for a guy like me to hear this, because you didn't just put your name on it, put the board together and say, hey, go get them. Good luck. I mean, you were there. You were there handing the jackets out. Yeah, I mean, this isn't just a foundation that you lend your name to. I mean, you're on the street on this thing, right?
Yeah, no, it's...
Man, good for you. Good for you.
That's
not
the
bad
whole...
for a boy from Racine. I just,
some good things come out of Racine.
Yeah, a couple. You're one of them. That is for sure.
Hey, would some of the parents come when they were going to have this assembly and you're giving the coats out?
They would be there. And it was kind of cool. They kind of made it like a Brewer Day kind of thing. And some schools were just... Some responded really well in the way they made it, and they made it a huge deal for these kids. So it was a lot of fun. But it was even fun for committee members. We'd have a day of sorting out. We're very fortunate. One of the guys on our committee, Gallo Manufacturing out there, we would use his warehouse, and we'd have all the jackets laid out in his warehouse. And we had to go through every jacket. We had to take off every tag, every price tag, on them, because once we gave them to the kids, we wanted it just to be their own. Unfortunately, we found out the hard way, like, some of the parents were actually taking the jackets and returning them and using the money for their own needs.
That is heartbreaking.
But the thing, we'd have this warehouse, and we would sort out every jacket, take out, and then we would do them by sizes. And massive.
And then by school.
And then we would sort them by sizes, by school. We had a big night of it, so we would just have a bunch of volunteers come out, like about 15 to 20 volunteers, box them up all night. And then we'd have a dates set to go to the schools, and they'd bring a big box truck, and we'd drop them off.
Hey, as you did that, is there a kid that you remember that just stands out to you as far as when he received that coat, you know, his reaction? Did you get?
Yeah, but I mean, pretty much, all of them. They just come up and hug you like, you know, you've been with them as part of a family for the longest time.
Wow.
So you see tears in eyes, kind of things. And they almost don't want to leave your leg, you know. Yeah. They're kind of just holding on to you, especially these young ones.
He is Marcus Hanel, again, bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. And if you missed our first segment, we talked a lot about this season. We'll get back to that later in the show. But we're talking right now, he's the founder of Coos for Kids. How did the word Coos come up? And I know this because I read it, but your mom, when she said Marcus, she would say Marcus?
Correct. So, you know, growing up, my mom and dad, they came over from Germany, and with their accent, when they would pronounce my name, Marcus. So I always seem to be the slower one out of the locker room. So in high school, finally one day, my mom opened up the door to the locker room and screamed my name. And the only thing that echoed off the walls was Coos, Coos, Coos. And since then, everyone has called me Coos. So
that's what you got.
That's awesome. Again, he is Marcus Hanel. He's the founder of Coos for Kids. And I would recommend go to their website. The only thing that I talked to Marcus about during the break is I would love to find a place on the website for people that are feeling led to give to such a really good cause. They don't have that on the website, but there is a place to contact this organization. And if you can send them an email, and Jill, his wife, will email you back if you're feeling led to donate and help this cause. Again, Coos for Kids, KOOS for Kids.com. Did you ever think when you started this, Marcus, that you would get to a point where, look, and the coat thing, it went great, and maybe it's run its course. You just you have to order too many, But you guys now are going to a different place, and we're going to talk about that. But when you started this in 2005, did you ever think you'd get to a point where we're trying to order too many coats?
No, you know, we didn't know, truthfully, where we were going to go with anything. We just knew we wanted to impact kids. And I think the first year we did like 13 coats.
yeah.
And we helped a family who was, this young boy was terminally ill. So we helped him with a bunch of stuff. And then it just slowly grew into what it is now. We started a Challenger Baseball League where these kids in the summertime get to play baseball for free that can't play in a regular league. We've heard stories of grandparents hearing their grandkids talking for the first time, ball or whatever it is, and them just getting to be on playing on a dirt field. You know, so we're very fortunate we've been able to do that. Even have a bowling league in the wintertime for three Sundays that these kids get to bowl, and you can just see the relationships that those kind of kids together. When they see each other, they light up, and the families get to become have a special bond themselves. So, just very fortunate. Yeah, I didn't know where this was really going to go. We just know we wanted to impact the community. Mm-hmm. And when we say Coos for Kids, I've said this all along. We don't think it's like just a Coos for Kids entity or. It's always, I always look at it as a community project because everyone's involved in this. If you donate money and stuff like that, that's the one thing. We don't keep any of it. Anything we get is to go right back in the
100%
community.
100% of it.
So yeah, obviously there's some reasons to buy the jackets and buy, you know, that kind of stuff, but that's all, it's all going right into the thing. Everything we did.
Nobody on your board is,
no,
is collecting
gets nothing,
a salary.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So again, Coos for Kids, and go to the website and you'll get a really good feel immediately. As soon as you go to the website, you'll get a good feel for who they are, what this ministry is to Marcus and his wife and their group. And there's a picture on the website that it's you with this big smile and this little guy. And look, I got three grandsons. We got kids. Pastor's got grandsons. And anybody that does the stuff that you do, I just you know, put my hands up and say thank you, because I think it's the time it takes and the patience, and you obviously are very comfortable in that arena. And to be able to be comfortable with a bunch of kids that you know are looking at you like, man, this guy, he's with the Brewers and he's giving us this opportunity, I think is really important, and it's a special gift. So thank you for that.
And what I love too is that you're sharing the gospel with them. And I don't know if you have had opportunities where either kids or families have come up and said, hey, this is what we've been searching for. Thanks for sharing it with us. You know, and then trying to help get them plugged into church or whatever. Can you think of some scenarios like that you've had? Or is it something they come maybe and talk to you individually with?
Yeah, we've had, you know, before every baseball game, or we have or anything that we do with the kids in the channel, we always are praying. We've been able to invite people to church. When we go visit some of our terminally ill kids, going up to the hospitals, trying to be a comfort to them, kind of praying with them, kind of, you know, lead them to the Lord if they don't know who that is. But just trying to share the love of Christ with them going through a difficult time, and just to know that we have our hope in Him.
Yeah, man, that is, I tell you, Mike, that is, I'm glad to get Marcus back in here.
I
need that encouragement today, man. That's awesome to see what you're doing. And I still remember, you know, we'll probably get into your testimony in just a moment, but I still remember you coming in your very first time saying, man, when I found the truth, I was like, man, nobody ever shared this with me. I want to share this with people. So
I think we talk about him as much
we do
on the air as we talk about any of our guests. We talk about that with that reaction that Marcus Hanel had when he talked about being a first-generation Christian. Guys, we've got to get to a break. Again, our special guest for the entire hour in studio with us, he is Marcus Hanel, bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. More important, he's the husband of Jill and the father of these four great kids and the founder of Coos for Kids. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone. An inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Sorens Ford of Brookfield. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. We're joined in studio. He's a good one. We talk about him a lot on Faith in the Zone, Marcus Hanel. He's a bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. He is the founder of Coos for Kids. Again, I would highly recommend coosforkids.com, K-O-O-S for kids.com. Go on that website and take a look at some of the really good stuff that this organization is doing. Pastor?
Marcus, one thing that we've done, and we've done it with you in the past, is had you share your testimony. That's what Faith in the Zone is all about, is for folks to share, hey, this is when my journey of faith with Jesus Christ began. And I never get tired of hearing it. I never get tired of hearing anybody's story of how God worked in their life and brought them to that place when they recognized they were a sinner and they needed Jesus. So why don't you just share with us how that took place there in your life.
All right, how many minutes we got?
We're good.
Man. You, I love it every time you share it. So you just take your time, share it.
So, you know, I was, my mom and dad came over from Germany. You know, my mom would take me to church on a Sunday, you know, but I never really had any of my own kind of foundation or belief. Just growing up, again, I was just kind of a church guy. At that moment, I had a buddy while I was playing minor league baseball whose brother ended up taking his life. Mm-hmm. And it started asking myself some deeper questions. And then I started leaning on guys who I thought had a different perspective, or just to kind of, they knew something was different about them, and I kind of just started asking them and some harder questions. Mm-hmm. You know, like, man, what happens when you die? All this kind of stuff. What happens if you take your life? And they started directing me to the Bible. And like I said, I'd go to church on Sunday, but I never had ever really opened a Bible before. Started questioning maybe some of the things that I had maybe was believing in or brought up in, and or even trying just to strengthen the faith that I had. As I played ball, you always wondered, like, what is more than just baseball? That was just me. You know, there's something that has to be more, especially after the death of my friend. So that was one of the things. Then getting, you know, my wife and I were married, it was, you know, we were married. But again, even us, as we were going through the process, like, some of the things just didn't add up as where we were going. And we were kind of like, something's amiss. And at that time, I was going, I was playing in the spring training with the Atlanta Braves. And there, Paul Byrd, John Smoltz, Tony Graffinino, these guys were solid believers in Christ. And, you know, we can put our whole, to say the difference between joy and happiness is happiness is all about worldly circumstances. But joy, no matter what the circumstances, you can always have. And these guys seem to have it all the time. So they brought me to a Bible study, and it's like really the first time that I've actually opened the Bible and had guys go through it, break it down, and kind of share out of it. And through the course of that spring, and then Paul Byrd, for some reason, didn't make the big league club. And I guess it was God ordained, because that summer, his wife built into my wife, and we just shared the again, though, it was still not like sinking in my heart. And I guess they say, what is it, 18 inches
from
heaven and hell is there. So I still was doing the church thing, but I still like didn't make my faith my own. I didn't really truly trust that Jesus Christ was my Savior. So there's a difference between having knowledge of it and actually believing it in my heart.
Amen. Yep.
And so I just still was doing my own thing still. I'd still go to church on Sunday, but my wife and I still kind of just did our own thing. I was reading the book series Left Behind.
Love it.
Left Behind series starts out, you know, on a plane, and all of a sudden passengers are missing, and chaos ensues because some of the pilots from different airlines, there's crap. I mean, it was just like intense, and just found out, like, man, in that book series, it's like the rapture has come. Like, Jesus has taken those who believe in him. And so the question was, if Jesus was to come, would you be left behind? And I'd ask the heartfelt question of, yes, I would be. I'd be left behind. So all that coincided with 2001 with 9/11. So you put the plane crashing into the World Trade Centers, me reading the book series, and I'm having all these kind of studies and kind of reading the word. And finally now I'm like, man, there's got to be more. And then at the time, Wayne Bilgard, who was the baseball chaplain for our baseball team, he kind of challenged me. You know, I always say he doesn't like when I say this, but he kind of punched me in the face. but with truth.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, man, where are you at? And you come on Sundays, you supposedly go, you know, you use Bible studies, but where are you at with the Lord? You know? And he goes, better question, how's the Lord with you? And that one kind of sunk in.
Yeah, that one hits you a little bit.
Like, whoa. And so I went to a Bible study that he had been asking me in the off season now, and there was 30 other guys there, and they were going through Romans, and that night through Romans, I was broke, and I just started crying, knowing I needed a savior, and I couldn't do this on my own anymore. Mm-hmm. And those guys just brought me in a circle, prayed over me, and that was in November of 2001. And I've been running with him since, not perfectly, but I've been running with him. And, you know, for those who might be a first generation or the first one to do so, man, I was leaving behind. I don't want to say leave behind, but at the time, man, people thought I was in a cult. Friends, family members, they didn't understand what was going because, you know, my lifestyle, man, was, man, I was a pretty... I mean, weekend with the buddies.
You got after a little bit?
We had some fun, you know what I mean?
What I thought was fun. I'm with you. I thought that was a lot of fun. I don't think, I was misguided, let's say that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, back in the day, I mean, I drank, we did all those kind of things, and wasn't honoring to the Lord and those kind of things, but, we weren't harm. But all those buddies were like, "Why, you're not going to drink anymore?" And I'm like, "Man, it's not honoring the Lord." So all of a sudden, you start losing favor with these friends that you've grew up with. People are like, "Whoa, man, you're not doing this anymore? Why not?" You know, and it's like it wasn't. And then even amongst my family members, like, you know, like, "What are you like?" You know, and it was just like it was hard. Even my wife, like, "What's going on with you?" And at the same time, my wife and I were trying to have children, and we were unsuccessful. And it was a difficult time. Like, you know, you're searching, like, man, we're like pretty decent people here. And you're looking around, you're looking at young teenagers being unwed, having kids, or just some other people. Like, here you are, like, we got a decent family, you and I. And like, why can't we not? And so there's a lot of doubt. Like, you're kind of questioning God, which you never do, but
right.
You do. But I just finally surrendered. All right, Lord, it's on you. And that winter, it was a difficult one because people didn't want to befriend me anymore. I was getting new friends. My wife's like, "What's going on?" And but then we kind of went to a different church, and she saw a loving side, she was hearing a different message, a gospel-centered message, not a works-based message. Oh, yeah. So it was very encouraging to hear this. So we did a men's Tuesday night. It was all winter. And before I left for spring training, the guys were going to pray for my season. And they had asked Jill to come. And she saw these men who were on fire for the Lord praying for me. And it really touched her. And I remember she went back with Wayne's wife, Carol, in the back room. And she just kind of cried and broke down. And shortly after that, she gave her life to Jesus. And a couple of months later, we found out we're going to have our twin girls. So it was just a whole surrender there. So the thing was, is like, even though I was going to church, reading his word, I had to surrender. And it took 9/11. It took Left Behind. It took guys to, like I said, punch me
in the face.
But right, that's not a bad thing. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times people are afraid of hurting people confrontationally. Sometimes we're afraid, like, what are they going to think if I say this? And I'm very thankful for Wayne not worrying about that. And he actually saved my soul for stepping up and doing so. And I think sometimes we get too intimidated by the fact that we don't want to hurt someone's feelings with truth. And we'll let them go down a road that's not good, because because we're too worried about that. And at time, and there's ways of doing it. He did it in a loving way. I say punch in the face. That sounds pretty nasty, but he did it in a loving way, and he showed the love of Christ doing so.
Effective way. Guys, I would love to follow up with this, but we have to get to a break. Here's Marcus Hanel, and I got to tell you, his testimony for me just it reaches inside of my heart because he, you know, we did a lot of the same stuff, I think, and I think that his wife walking in, my wife started going to Eastside Baptist Church, and I thought she was going to a cult, so it's something else. Hey, we will continue with Marcus on the other side of the break. Again, he is a bullpen catcher for your Milwaukee Brewers, founder of Coos for Kids. I would recommend coosforkids.com. KOOS for kids.com. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Hey, this is Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Our special guest, he's Marcus Hanel, bullpen catcher for your Milwaukee Brewers. Pastor, we talk about everybody's testimony, but it's just so powerful when Marcus talks about, you know, his journey. And a lot of people that are listening to this show, I'm telling you, they're going to go, wow, that's kind of me. I go to church on Sunday, but I don't have that relationship. I don't really open the Bible much. Mm-hmm. And I think that when he talks about it, I think it's just it's such a great story. And there's a lot of people that I think listen to the show that are going to nod their head and go, man, that's me.
Well, you know, a lot of people have the head knowledge, and they think, oh, I believe in God. And I think you've brought it up often, Mike. I believe in God like I believe in Abraham Lincoln and George Washington.
Knew all the stories.
Yeah.
Growing up in the school, in the Catholic church I went to. I knew Jesus Christ the exact same way I knew Abraham Lincoln. I knew all the stories, but I had no relationship because I never opened the Bible.
Yeah, it gets to the head knowledge, and the Bible actually says the devils believe in God and they even tremble. You know, so I liked how you said it, Mark. It has to go from my head down to my heart to open up my life and say, I cannot save myself. And basically, that's what religion. You know, That's the big bugaboo with religion. Religion tells you got to do something. They might talk about Jesus, but they'll say, well, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. And then on top of that, they don't even really know for sure they're going to live with God one day. Mm-hmm. I think, man, how can you live like that?
Hey, I don't mean to change the subject, but we only have 4 minutes left. And I think what everybody's really wondering that's listening to the show is, could I hit Josh Hader? And you see my physique here, Marcus. You know how quick my hands are. How far could I hit that ball off, Hader?
To my catcher's glove?
Yeah.
We give him fits about that all the time.
He better bring a bucket of balls because I'm going to lose a bunch on him. Mike, I can't. They slow it down. I can't even see it, I'm sure. My goodness. What is it like catching? Just having him warm up. They showed him during the Dodger series, warming up in the bullpen. They had a great camera out there, by the way. Man, even warming up, he brings it. He's not, I mean, when he gets it going and you could hear the pop, and I thought, man, Mark, his hand's got to be hurting today. Is your hand hurt at all?
Sometimes when it's cold out, but outside of that, no. It's just been battered and bruised enough where it just has no feeling in it anymore.
You could still hold 7 baseballs in that hand?
Yes, 7. Yeah.
Hey, I got to ask you, do you ever go out and say, hey, I'm just going to take a little batting practice today?
It's been, it might have been 5 or 6 years. It's been a long time, though.
Long time.
Yeah, I'm happy to not blow out right now. So I'll
your knee's hurting?
No, occasionally back gets a little sore, my shoulder from a lot of throwing, because, I mean, I throw, like, you know, before people even know the gates are opened up, you know, I'm playing long toss with the pitchers, I'm warming up on flat ground, I'm doing the starters' bullpens, and then I throw batting practice every day, so.
My brother lives in Dunedin, Florida, and he travels over to St. Petersburg. In fact, he's 65 still catching. He's catching in three leagues down in Florida. And I said, can you still throw guys out? He's like, yeah, they're not as fast as they used to be. I can one hop it and get these boys. But he goes overseas the Rays, and he's as big a Brewer fan. He will text me. I've taped the game. Do not call me. Don't tell me what's going on. But we went over when you guys were in town a couple years ago, and we got there really early, and a guy he plays baseball with works for the Rays, so we were in that area right next to the bullpen where you get something to eat, and we were like the first people. I mean, we got there 2 hours early, and I watched you out in the outfield as you were long tossing and doing the stuff you're doing, and I thought, man, he throws more than anybody on this team.
Oh, yeah.
So shoulder is good?
Yeah, it's just you got to stay on it. You know, before I didn't have to do as much off-season training and stuff like that. I got to do a lot more of it to stay on top of it. But I've been very blessed. The Lord has blessed me physically where I haven't really had any big issues.
Yeah, you look like you're in great shape. One last question. So when you're throwing batting practice, have you ever hit anybody?
Funny thing is, I was trying to joke with Chase this year in cages with he was getting a little lippy on me, and so I threw one up and in and hit him right in his arm. It was so funny.
Everyone
was
left, like, arm. Left arm,
yeah, left
oh,
arm.
Thank goodness, smart, yeah, smart boy. Well, but
it was unintentional. It wasn't even hard. It was
maybe
just
the
kinda
first thing I do is get in the batter's box with you throwing, and if I could take you deep, then bring Hayter in. Let's see. You know what? I can't even a softball this slow pitch softball anymore. So all of this smack talk, I love talking it.
Oh, you do. You
man,
do.
I'll go lefty against you, Marcus. I'll go lefty and I'll spray the ball a little bit. Guys, Marcus,
he's a second baseman, all right? He plays second base.
And I turn it. It's about a four-step process. It's the catch, step, run over, throw. Yeah, not nearly as quick as I used to be, Marcus Hanel, I got to tell you. Hey, keep up the good work with Coos for Kids. And again, I know that I'm speaking for a lot of people listening, for those non-Cubs fans, that we thank the organization you work for and the work that you did for what a great run. And I learned midway through the season that I was just going to enjoy it. No matter how it ended, I was just going to enjoy it because I liked watching these guys play. I've been on the Yelich bandwagon a long time. And that kid is really, when he gets it going, he's really fun to watch. And just thank you for all the stuff that you do for the community, for the Brewers, for taking us on such a phenomenal ride. And again, the city of Milwaukee is so much in the state of Wisconsin behind the Milwaukee Brewers. He is Marcus Hanel. Had a great holiday season. Stay warm this winter. And you know what? Catchers and pitchers report a lot sooner than you think, man.
Yeah, it's coming quick. I'm excited about it.
It's coming quick. Pastor, it's good to see you. Thank
good
you
to be
very
here.
Much.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Thanks for listening. This is Faith in the Zone. Again, Coos for Kids. Want to get that one last time. KOOSforKids.com. Take a look at that website. You can contact Jill if you're feeling led to give some money for this great cause. Please do that. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.